The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
The Flypod New Media Network, and coming to you from Studio Number 7. I'm your host, Gary Puckett. Welcome to our program. We're pleased to have you listening in, and we do thank our syndication and hyper-syndication partners and our sponsors and underwriters nationwide. Without this active network of support, none of our programs would be possible, folks. It's that simple. When you have a few minutes, visit our media site directly, www.theflypod.com. With a talented team of 35 show hosts nationwide, we podcast a wide variety of programs daily to thousands of small communities across the United States, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. When it comes to the media, we are what's next. My guest in the studio today is Stan Pennington, and he represents a chapter of the Tea Party movement known as WeTheHoosiers.com. We the Hoosiers is one of thousands of independent Tea Party groups nationwide, each of them common only in declared values and agendas. They do not share a common national organization. Tea Party groups consist of individual American citizens who have mobilized because they are concerned about the direction our country is headed. Their stated purposes are to work toward a tighter adherence to the U.S. Constitution and the separation of powers, to maintain fiscal responsibility within all levels of government, to scale back the overall size and role of government, and they also have been sending quite a clear and strong message to elected officials of all political parties. And I will quote one of their very own members, "We put you in office and you work for us," end quote. Listeners, it's important that you understand something as you listen to this show or hundreds of others like it nationwide. The Flypod Media Network willingly furnishes free and open media time to hundreds of citizen groups all around the country. Each group with their own unique perspective and point of view, our network is impartial and neutral and extends this invitation of open media access to any American citizen or group, regardless of political affiliation or point of view. Nationwide, independent groups similar to We the Hoosiers are turning away from old media and looking to the more open and accessible platforms of new media for distribution of their message. Make no mistake about it. When it comes to the media, we are what's next. Stan, welcome back to Studio 7.
Hi, Gary.
It's a pleasure to have you back in. Where does the time go, huh?
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit before the show, but I'd like to begin by talking with you about the general topic of individual rights in America. We hear so much about this today. We hear about gun rights, women's rights, privacy rights, gay rights, even healthcare rights. But it's apparent that some things are in fact rights protected by law, while many things that people may consider as a right are not rights at all. And I was wondering if you could offer some insight or opinion on what we as Americans actually are entitled to or guaranteed, either as a birthright or as a constitutional right.
Well, Gary, we're asking the same question today that's been asked back in the 17th century, the mid-17th century. There was a couple groups that got together there and wanted to define what human rights were and what their individual rights would be. And we are faced with the same questions today that they had back then. But they've already defined and refined, I guess, what normal human rights should be as far as citizens are concerned in a country. We are faced with the same decision-making today that they had back then. They had to define what is individual rights. And so the rights that we're talking about today, the ones that we hear most about, is, and it seems to be the current one today, is the right to own guns, the right to defend ourselves. And we're finding that our government is trying to redefine what has already been defined within our Constitution. And the first 10 amendments in the Constitution are basically the first 10 rights that were outlined by this group of people that I'm talking about from England And Thomas Paine just happened to be one of the guys that was involved in that.
What was that group? What was the name of that group?
It was called the Bill of Rights Society.
Okay.
And it started in the mid-1700s. And I guess if you want to take a basic date, it was a little bit before and a little bit after that. But it happened with King George III, who we fought in our revolution, and he had appointed someone to prime minister that most of the people felt was really a bad person to have in charge. And he arranged for his position to be there. It wasn't something that was elected through Parliament at that time. And so there was a lot of people that were up in arms about it. And so they started writing things against him. There was a guy named John Wilkes, who basically was very vocal and started a program, if you would, against the king because of the decision he'd made to put this guy in place.
Like a movement.
Yeah, there was a movement that mm-hmm. started.
Okay.
So what happened then was they got together and they decided that they were going to sit down and define what rights people should have as far as their government is concerned. And one of the members of that first organization was a guy named John Horne Tooke. And John Horne, now this is something we haven't even been taught, I wasn't taught in my American history as I was growing up. I didn't know that they were having the same controversy in England that we're having here. But Thomas Paine.
So you're comparing what happened back then to what we're experiencing in this country today?
Actually, yes. Because okay. What was happening there is exactly what's happening in our government today. The king, only we have a president and a Congress and a Senate, but the king back then was trying to basically, he was trying to overrule their rights as citizens. And so basically they outlined those rights and they wanted to define them. At the same time, we were thinking about becoming a country but had never got to be that way yet. We hadn't decided to fight a revolution. We hadn't declared our independence, but we were thinking about it. So this group, because of the timing of our country entering into the revolutionary period, Thomas Paine was sent to France to gain support for our country in case we got that way. And in the meantime, he met this group that was at the same time trying to define the rights of citizens. And Thomas Paine came up with the book, The Rights of Man.
So did this book that he wrote, The Rights of Man, did this spring out of actually ideas that were more a part of this Bill of Rights society?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the part that we haven't been taught. We've been taught basically in our history here that Thomas Paine was the guy that came up with all of this, and he did. He did refine his version of this Bill of Rights Society, but the group together that was really in the heat of the battle basically outlined many more rights than what we actually have here. They defined them even better. But we had to have something to start with, and our basic 10 rights that we have in the Constitution basically came from this group of people. They weren't really given credit for being a part of our Bill of Rights, but they were in the heat of the battle that we're having today. It was very similar.
When you think about individual rights, where do like my rights end and your rights begin, or is there such a line of distinction?
Well, I'm sure that was brought up in the discussion when these people were trying to decide what rights we should have as a society. And obviously when you have a group of people or you have a society, there's going to be times when people disagree. And then you have to do what is the common right thing for that society. I believe where most people's rights end and begin is as long as my rights, the rights that I have, do not infringe on your rights or another person's rights, then it's a right. It's okay. And what we have established in this country is we have a judicial system that was added to that to make sure and ensure that my rights were not hindered because of your rights. They define that. So you have to take each individual right, if you want to call it a right, and I think that a lot of the people that were in this group that were discussing this had a very knowledge of biblical doctrines.
And so are you suggesting that what we all today consider rights come from two sources, both our Constitution and from, well, what I'll call a birthright?
Well, They called it inalienable rights.
Yes.
In our Constitution.
Okay.
And that word basically meant God-given rights that we had at birthrights. Yes, birthrights would be a good way to put it.
Okay.
There are certain rights that we do have. For instance, if you would look at the first 10 amendments that we have the right to defend ourselves. We have the right to provide for ourselves. And the opening statement in our Constitution talks about the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as being inalienable rights. If we are denied those every human being should have those. And then it even went further to determine that all men were created equal, that we all start out with the same basic rights. We should not be denied those. And all of that has taken place to define who we are as Americans. We are the government that has founded and started out with assuring on paper, I might add, that all rights were equal, that everyone should have the same basic birthrights, if you will, and then to ensure those individual rights for each individual.
Well, you mentioned inalienable rights,
yeah,
or God-given rights. You know, in America today, we have quite a mix of people of different faiths, and we have also people who have no faith or they're proclaimed atheists. So where does that leave – that's probably a whole other show, but I mean, like, where does that leave an atheist when it comes to God-given rights? I mean, how do they square with that, do you think? I mean, because we have quite a melting pot in this country.
You have to put yourself in the mindset of the people that were in this group that defined basic rights.
So you're equating it more to the founders' origins and their intentions?
I think that's really where we have to go, yes.
Okay.
We have to build from there. And if we ignore that, which there's a lot of people would like for us to do that, if they would want us to ignore what the founders intended, then you can change those rights to mean whatever you want to mean. But the fact of the matter was they had already gone through a government where religion was a part of the government and hindered people's rights in the name of religion. And what they came up with as a result of that was in the form of American government was you didn't have to be religious. You still deserve the rights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every human being gets the rights. So if you're an atheist and you want to be an atheist, you have that right to be that way. Our Constitution is going to ensure that you have the right to believe in a God or not believe in a God.
So it protects their beliefs as well as
absolutely
a person who is yes, religious.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you know, you're suggesting that many Americans are concerned that we are, in fact, in the same situation that this Bill of Rights Society found themselves in with the king 300 years ago. And you're suggesting that many Americans today are concerned, and for sure members of ranks from within the numerous Tea Party chapters around the country, that the very same issues that caused our revolution are in fact resurfacing. So in your view, what are those issues specifically?
Deny me of my rights and I'm not going to be a happy person. If you deny any human being of their rights, they're going to revolt against it. And basically, that's what happened in England. They had a revolution before we did.
And that is happening today.
I'm not promoting revolution, but what I'm saying is if our rights are taken away, if our rights as human beings are taken away, look in other countries, in China, where people they're dictating how many people they can have in their family and the revolution that's going on there. In these other countries like Islam, where if you do not accept Islam, you can have horrible things happen to you. When you look at these other countries where their human rights are being denied, what do you have? Revolution. This country, we don't have a revolution. We have a resolution at this point in time where we can resolve this matter. But in order to do that, we should go back to where our founding fathers were and determine what defined our Constitution, what made us a nation to start with, what gave us the freedoms that we have in this country, and what we can do to maintain them.
I think what I hear you saying at this point is that the Constitution is under attack and that to decide or determine where we should be looking at our rule of law as it exists. And that would, at its very basis, be the Constitution, would it not?
Well, the rule is to protect our rights. The rule of law, in other words, our judicial system is supposed to protect our rights. But what's happening in America today is that we have a judicial system that's not doing what it's supposed to do for the most part. And it's allowing people to have special rights. In doing that, you asked the question earlier, where do your rights end and where do mine begin? Well, when your rights impose, they impose on my rights, then the court has to look at that and decide which way we need to go with that. But we've got a court that is basically, we have two different mindsets here where people are trying to decide which is best for everybody or which is going to cause us problems down the road if we have a right that's changed.
Well, but it's not up to the judicial branch of government to make law.
No.
But the fact of the matter is, through their various interpretations and their opinions, they ultimately end up making new law. And I kind of – what I hear you saying is that's a no-no. Because it's creating rights that did not exist before, and they're only for certain groups as opposed to all.
When our president is sworn in, he takes an oath to defend the Constitution.
To uphold it.
To uphold the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He swears to do that. Now, I don't think it's happened yet, but so far that swearing has been on a Bible. It doesn't matter really what book it's on. But the Constitution has to be upheld. We have to look at if you're making a commitment, you're swearing on something, you're saying,
you're taking an
obligation. I will do this no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that you're going to defend the Constitution. If you haven't read the Constitution, you shouldn't be doing the swearing. And if you're willing to defend the Constitution, then you should be willing to do that. Well, what we have is people are now trying to redefine the Constitution. They're trying to change it to set a certain standard that's contrary to what we've had in the past for the past 200 years, what has prospered this country. And we've also, I mean, if you want to go back even into the 60s, when we were talking about civil rights, those people had constitutional rights. Our government fulfilled its destiny and did what it was supposed to do and made sure that everyone through the civil rights movement had equal rights. And we've gone through that. That's one time that it worked.
Stan, what you're bringing into question here is the government's interpretation and altering or in some cases ignoring the elements of the Constitution, which is our rule of law. If this is allowed to continue, this ignoring, if you will, or this altering or this alternative interpretation of the Constitution, what you're suggesting is we could very easily, as a country and as individual citizens of this country, end up finding ourselves with no rights. Is that what I hear you saying? Or I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's kind of what I'm getting from what you're saying.
Well, then you're getting what I'm saying, Gary, because that's basically what I'm trying to say. And I think it is the concern, the general consensus of the concern of the Tea Party movement in general. I think that's why the Tea Party movement was birthed to begin with. If we allow our government to stray one way or the other away from our Constitution and our constitutional rights, which have been already defined, the rights of man, equal rights, if a person would just read the Constitution, they would understand that. But if we allow the government to take us away from that, what could happen is eventually what happened in England and some of these other countries where you had a dictator kind of king, or if you want to go to communist countries where you have a dictator there, human rights are the first thing that are out the window. And when you lose your human rights, you lose your country.
Mm.
You're under a dictator. We do not want that to happen. We want to make sure in America that the rights that our founding fathers put down for us are the rights that we're going to have today and for future generations.
Well, certainly some things to ponder and think deeply about. Stan, I appreciate you coming into the studio once again. This has been an interesting conversation, without question. Listeners, I want you to remember this. The Flypod Media Network extends this open invitation to any citizen to come on my show, regardless of their political affiliation or point of view. Our network is truly neutral. So regardless of where you're contacting us from in America, we'll have you on the show and podcast it directly back into your specific geographic community. How impressive could it be? I mean, this is like totally cool. What a flexibility we have on this nationwide network of program feeds or channels. So to come on our show and have your voice heard, simply drop an email directly to us in our main control studio, shout@theflypod.com. And we'll take it from there and arrange to have you on the program. Again, my guest today has been Stan Pennington of the group WeTheHoosiers.com. Very serious about a lot of fundamental principles that I outlined for them in the opening of the show. And from Studio 7, I'm your host, Gary Puckett, coming free and clear through the New Media Network program feeds of www.theflypod.com. If you have any comments, suggestions, questions, heck, even complaints, we take it all. Leave your comments directly on the show page in front of you. It's probably displayed right in front of you at this very moment. Or you can email us the old-fashioned way, as it were, in our main production studio, shout@theflypod.com. We hear from our listeners all the time and appreciate the feedback. Again, from Studio 7, until next time, thank you so very much for listening in. And remember, when it comes to the media, we are what's next.